Truth News Network. Hate, anger, impeachment, just because. Lies, distortions, fake news, tweet, tweet, tweet. How do you make sense of it? Circling the globe with facts, sorting out the noise. Your doctor of veracity, Dan Newman.
Well, there's a whole lot of noise going on, isn't there? And I don't think we've gotten anywhere. It doesn't look like we're going anywhere anytime soon of substance. Hi, everybody. I'm Dan Newman. Welcome back to Truth News Network. Today, the title of our conversation is Abuse of Power and Obstruction of Congress. Huh? Well, here we go again, folks. The House Judiciary Committee introduced the first two articles of impeachment they plan to present to the full House for a vote to impeach President Trump. Now, there may be more articles to come. We just know these two: abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. We've heard those two things tossed around for some time in allegations made against President Trump. Let's start with this one, the abuse of power. It's a claim that alleges the president insisted that President Zelensky of Ukraine immediately jumpstart corruption investigation into Hunter Biden, Vice President Joe Biden's son, or if he didn't do that, he would risk losing foreign aid from the United States. The obstruction of Congress claim is for actions taken by President Trump, or alleged actions, to keep current and former members of his administration from honoring congressional subpoenas, and those subpoenas included for them to show up and testify or turn over evidence to them. They wanted to get these people in the hot seat and try to turn them or get some kind of information to support their claims that the president has done all kind of wrongdoing sufficient to impeach him. You know, these certainly were serious allegations made. Very, very serious if they're true. If true are the big terms, the big words that are used in this, because if they are true, they could very well kickstart real impeachment proceedings of getting rid of this president, which is all the Democrats have wanted since even before he took the oath of office. So let's break down these two. The first one, abuse of power. Now, according to the House Judiciary Committee, the reason President Trump mentioned to Zelensky the previous investigation of Hunter Biden's alleged corruption was to force Ukraine to investigate Biden or lose U.S. aid. The committee alleges that Trump's doing so was to squeeze Ukraine so that they wouldn't lose U.S. foreign aid into investigating Joe Biden, former vice president, because Biden is a candidate that is going to, maybe, it's not so yet, but run against Trump in the 2020 election. They say that they're trying to protect from President Trump interfering once again with another presidential election. Of course, they still maintain he did that very thing in 2016. Just a reminder, the Ukrainian prosecutor was fired because of a threat by Vice President Biden of the withholding of $1 billion in U.S. foreign aid unless the Ukrainian prosecutor that was already doing an investigation of Hunter Biden was fired. In fact, in clear video, there is evidence of Biden bragging about the incident and giving Ukraine just 6 hours to fire the prosecutor, who, by the way, was fired. While you're considering the validity of this specific article of impeachment, consider this. In all of the testimonies of those brought in a closed door and the subsequent public hearings on this matter, not one single person who testified provided evidence showing that the president was trying to squeeze Ukraine. The several people who heard the conversation actually heard it. When asked about the alleged Trump quid pro quo, none could factually state that President Trump did so for those purposes. President Trump, or any U.S. president, has an oath of office to take responsibility so that any money from American taxpayers given to foreign governments in the form of aid is being used legally and for the purposes upon which the Congress offered and therefore passed to give that support to those countries. Vice President Biden was appointed by President Obama to oversee corruption investigations in the Ukraine. He was purportedly over there doing so during these meetings. President Zelensky has on numerous occasions stated there was no quid pro quo, no request by the president, no attempted bribery by the president or anyone else in the Trump administration to investigate Hunter Biden as a prerequisite for foreign aid. Ambassador Sondland, who participated in that process, actually was on that phone call. He recalled a subsequent conversation with the president in which Sondland asked what Trump wanted from Ukraine. President Trump stated he wanted nothing but Ukraine to do the right thing. He wanted nothing from Ukraine to investigate Hunter Biden and any potential wrongdoing other than Ukraine to comply with what they had already agreed to do. And by the way, already agreed to do? Nobody's talking about this, but there's an actual treaty between the United States and Ukraine dating all the way back to 1999. President Clinton actually signed it. In the treaty, both nations agree to partner to ferret out, identify, and prosecute any political corruption of any kind that impacts either country in dealings with the other. It's a formal treaty, folks, not simply an executive action like an executive order taken by a president. That means Congress approved that action. That treaty prompted Obama to send Biden to oversee the corruption that was alleged to be going on in Ukraine. Biden committed abuse of power in taking his actions to protect his son. No abuse of power. No evidence to say there was any Trump abuse of power. Now, when I was putting all this together, I had this thought. There was abuse of power going on there. Representative Adam Schiff, during this impeachment probe, unilaterally subpoenaed cell phone companies AT&T and Verizon for the telephone records of a whole bunch of folks who allegedly had conversations pertaining to this alleged abuse of power. Several of those whose records were provided are Rudy Giuliani, who's a private attorney for the president, reporter John Solomon, Representative Devin Nunes of California, and a bunch of other folks. Schiff had no legal authority to do that. Schiff released to the public information regarding a handpicked few of those callers and those calls. And in some states, his doing that alone are illegal. In doing so, not only did he unilaterally violate numerous laws, listen to this. The release exposed private telephone information and content of members of the media, John Solomon as an example. That's a violation of the First Amendment. Schiff didn't release all of the calls, incidentally, or identify or give the identities of all the callers on those receiving those phone calls. But who else on those phone call records somewhere down the line could be exposed for some alleged wrongdoing just because Schiff wants to hurt them or blackmail them to prevent any kind of exposure of him or his actions? He's got a pretty big thing to hang over people's head and blackmail. Guess what? Schiff's actions were definitely his abuse of power as the chairman of the House Oversight Committee. Devin Nunes is already making preparations to file a massive lawsuit against Adam Schiff, also against AT&T and Verizon for illegal activities. Why is that? Nunes is from California. Schiff doing so is a violation, if not of federal law, it's a violation of California law. How about that? The next big charge coming up that they have said they're going to file as an article of impeachment against the president is obstruction of justice. And it's power-packed, full of stuff that you've got to hear and know about. And it, too, is going to blow your mind that we're dealing with this today. We'll be right back to give you those details and wrap things up here at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org.
How do you deal with the left when they're in your face with facts? TNN, the Truth News Network.
What is Coca-Cola? Is it an excuse to get together? Since 1886, Coca-Cola has been passing on smiles from generation to generation. We've been giving kids scholarships, like the early birds and the all-nighters. And you get to enjoy what matters most. Coca-Cola. Drink up.
Biggie bag, huh?
It's new from Wendy's. It's everything you ever wanted for just $5.
Everything I ever wanted?
Wendy's bacon double stack, 4 nuggets, fries, a drink, and the spelling bee medal you lost in second grade because you couldn't spell soliloquy.
It really is everything I ever wanted.
Get a bacon double stack with a quarter pound of fresh beef, nuggets, fries, and a drink for just $5. Wendy's Biggie Bag is everything you ever wanted.
Sorry, I'm going to need all that back.
Really?
In a world of lies, there's nothing more scary than a man who tells the truth. Again, Dan Newman.
You know, there's a lot of truth going around, but there's a whole lot of falsehoods going around as well. A whole bunch of people are lying through their teeth. I wonder where that ever came from, lying through your teeth. Well, it's happening in Washington. We've heard a lot about it. We've heard a lot of the lies, and the investigations are wrapping up. The Horowitz report that already came out, Democrats tried to paint that report as something that exonerated all of those accused. Anything but that, folks. It's just the tip of the iceberg. And John Durham's report, the one that's based on a criminal investigation, will be out not shortly. It's going to be months before it comes out. But when it does, it's going to finally make a whole lot of people criminally responsible for their criminal activities. We'll keep our hands and eyes and ears on that, and we'll bring you details as they come along through the next weeks and months. But let's go ahead to charge number two and then wrap this thing up today. Obstruction of Congress, obstruction of justice, it's all intertwined there. President Trump's reason for preventing current and former members of his administration from appearing before Congress and also handing over evidence that Congress wanted was executive privilege. We hear that term, executive privilege, used quite often. So what is it? Here's the actual definition of the term executive privilege. It's the right of the President of the United States and other members of the executive branch to maintain confidential communications under certain circumstances within the executive branch and to resist some subpoenas and other oversight by the legislative and judicial branches of government in pursuit of particular information or personnel relating to those confidential communications. I don't need to tell you how big a deal this is and how important it is. There's a lot of stuff going on in the White House, especially interaction with the leaders of foreign governments, that we can't let it get out there. And I think you'll agree with me when I tell you that a bunch of stuff that shouldn't get out gets out every day in Washington, D.C. And of course, stopping someone from responding to a subpoena to cover up illegal activity would definitely be obstruction, not just of Congress, but of justice. But in this case, Mr. Trump personally demanded all applicable information be provided, not only to Congress for investigations, but to Robert Mueller's team. Remember that? The Trump administration provided a paltry 2 million pages of documents to Robert Mueller, and all of those documents have been and are available to each House Oversight Committee. And those committees have access to all the witness testimony from the Mueller case. But apparently that just isn't good enough. That being said, past presidents have on numerous occasions ignored congressional subpoenas for their staff members because executive privilege. No Congress has ever used doing so as a precursor to impeachment. Want some recent examples? Well, let's just look back. I got six examples that you'll remember, many of them, from the Obama administration. First, Eric Holder refused to provide subpoenaed Fast and Furious documents. The investigation of the botched Fast and Furious investigation is perhaps the most significant example of the Obama administration using executive privilege to justify their refusal to cooperate with an investigation. Holder refused to provide subpoenaed documents to the House Oversight and Reform Committee. And folks, in that one, people died. People died because of the way the Justice Department handled Fast and Furious. And then Lois Lerner, remember her? She was over a special department of the Internal Revenue Service that was charged with accepting or denying the applications for tax-free status from groups. Most of them were Christian or political and conservative in nature. Lois Lerner refused to testify when subpoenaed. She was the director of the Exempt Organizations Unit of the IRS when they were inappropriately targeting conservative and Tea Party groups. Appeared before Congress. She did finally go to Congress in May of 2013. She gave a statement, but then refused to answer any questions by pleading the Fifth Amendment. So, Republicans called her back in March of 2014. She pulled the same stunt. At that time, Representative Elijah Cummings of Maryland, who passed away not long ago, blasted Republicans for wanting to question her in the first place. How dare a conservative question the intentions and the ethics of Lois Lerner? After all, she was part of the Obama administration, right? And then Ben Rhodes. Remember that name? Well, Ben was not allowed to testify on the Iran nuclear deal. That deal was so bad, Obama didn't even try to get Senate ratification for it, make it a treaty. Much of the negotiations were done without Congress even knowing anything about them. When congressional Republicans wanted to get answers after Ben Rhodes, who was a failed novelist turned Obama speechwriter, turned top foreign policy advisor to Obama, they decided they needed to find out what this guy had. He let it spill to the New York Times that the administration relied on a false narrative to sell the Iran deal to the public. The White House wouldn't let him testify, using the separation of powers in their executive privilege excuse. And then there was Treasury officials who were blocked from testifying on Obamacare subsidies. Think back with me for a moment about Obamacare. When Obama started making all sorts of unilateral and illegal changes to Obamacare, Republicans were none too happy about his abuse of power. When Obama's IRS decided to expand Obamacare subsidies to be used in federal exchanges in addition to state exchanges, the Obama administration refused to allow Treasury Department officials to testify on the rule-changing process, using the excuse that the issue was soon to be decided in the Supreme Court anyway. Moving on, White House. Obama White House refused to allow the political director to testify. In 2014, Democratic operatives were so concerned that the Obama White House wasn't doing enough to help the forthcoming midterm elections that in response to their concerns, Obama launched the White House Office of Political Strategy and Outreach. That's a fancy name, pretty much for an internal Department of Politics. It raised eyebrows for a bunch of folks who were concerned that Obama and his minions were using White House resources for political activity against the law to do that. So, the House Oversight and Office of Political Strategy and Outreach was subpoenaed. David Simas was the director of the Office of Political Strategy and Outreach. He was not allowed to go testify, and White House counsel Neil Eggleston said that Simas was immune from congressional compulsion to testify on matters relating to his official duties and thus would not appear before the committee. Then there was Justice Kagan's Obamacare conflict of interest. Prior to being nominated as a justice for the court, the Supreme Court, Elena Kagan served as Solicitor General for the Obama administration. While she was there, she was heavily involved in crafting a legal defense for Obamacare. This conflict of interest was important since issues revolving around Obamacare would be going before the Supreme Court. Everybody knew that. Federal law dictates that Supreme Court justices must recuse themselves when their impartiality might reasonably be questioned. Naturally, the Obama administration didn't want Kagan to recuse herself from any Obamacare-related cases, so they just basically said she didn't have to go appear. So she didn't. Refusal to provide subpoenaed Solyndra documents. This goes way back. Remember that Solyndra scandal? The Obama administration wasn't interested in letting Congress exercise its overwrite responsibility when they investigated how the Obama administration could have given them a huge loan when they were going bankrupt. When House Republicans subpoenaed documents for their investigation, the White House fired back claiming their request would put an unreasonable burden on the president's ability to meet his constitutional duties. House Republicans accused the Obama White House of hiding information. They responded with the accusations of a partisan investigation. And of course, lost in all of that was that you and I and our fellow taxpayers had to pay a $500 million loss because Solyndra went busted. Refusing to let the White House Social Security Secretary testify on party crasher scandal. Remember in 2009, two party crashers successfully got by the Secret Service during a state dinner, got into the White House, created an uproar, and an investigation began on how the two actually got that far to get into the White House. And the White House wouldn't let them testify. Fighting subpoenas in the new Black Panther Party voter intimidation investigation. This one was especially tough to swallow. When the Obama administration dropped the voter intimidation case against the new Black Panther Party, the MBPP, in Philadelphia, many questions were asked as to why. The MBPP had dressed in parliamentary uniforms outside of polling places in Philadelphia on Election Day in 2008. The case against them, which was started by the Bush administration and the Obama administration, won the case by default when the MBPP didn't show up in court to defend themselves. But the DOJ decided, that's Eric Holder. We'll just dismiss the charges altogether. So, There are several precedents there about obstructing Congress. So much so that actually doing so is factual, not someone's opinion. Did you hear anybody talk about impeaching President Obama for obstructing Congress? I don't think so. I just had a thought about the claim that President Trump is obstructing Congress by not allowing his folks to testify or even turn over information or documents. How does Congress know there's anything for which the president is hiding from them? They haven't seen it. Now, this is impeachment, folks. This is not kind of guessing. You got to have something to use to impeach a president, don't you? How can they charge obstruction of Congress when there's nothing there for him to obstruct that they know about? Mueller turned all of that over to them. So here's the conclusion on that. There's obviously no meat on the bone. It's not about substance. It's about showing the progressive left that they're getting this guy. They're getting rid of Donald Trump. There's no meat on the bone. Bribery, treason, high crimes and misdemeanors, those have got to be present to impeach a president. Those are from the U.S. Constitution, not from some lawyer's opinion. When each of the legal experts that supposedly had evidence of Trump's wrongdoing was asked this question, what action did the president take that is impeachable? Not one person could name a single thing. Monday's hearing, in which attorneys for House Democrats testified about Trump's impeachable offenses, 100% of their testimony was based on this one word, opinion. No facts, no evidence. No doubt some folks don't like the president. I understand that. No doubt some members of the political bureaucracy don't like actions Trump has taken. But the opinions of those who feel that way are not sufficient to impeach a president. It's actually anti-American for any public servant to believe the removal of a president can be justly implemented based solely on political partisanship or opinion. Just imagine the U.S. government holocaust that would ensue in those circumstances. We would certainly see the political party in power in the House either actually or just through threats control for partisan purposes the acts of every president. You know, if you don't do exactly what we want you to do, we're going to impeach you. If President Trump is impeached by the House, and it's appearing more likely every day, every president going forward will face that as inevitability. Some who are qualified for the office are just going to refuse to run, not wanting to consider that. With a win, they'll probably be impeached, not for doing anything wrong other than just being a member of a political party that's not in control of the House. Who is completely left out of this conversation? Me and you. Don't forget, 63 million Americans voted to elect this guy. This House of Representatives is trying to remove Mr. Trump with no regard for the American voters who put him in the White House. To those who state that doing so is constitutional, consider this. In less than a year, American voters will once again pick a U.S. president. Do Democrats in the House think Americans are too stupid to see and understand what's going on? Do House Democrats feel they must step up and save us all from Donald Trump? If you believe that way, God help Americans from such an environment where we exist with people that feel that way. Our forefathers knew such a thing would happen and left their homeland to get away from it. Tyranny and despotism were alive and well in Europe at the time. My ancestors came to America to make something better. We've made something better from it. One message to Democrats: leave it alone. It works pretty well, Congress. Leave it alone. And if it doesn't work well, look around you if you don't agree with all of the great economic news and the way the Americans are viewed now around the world, then you can do what everybody else is going to do next November. Pull a lever that will drive Donald Trump from the White House and trying to just on your own take him out. Americans can do that with our vote. That's the way representative republic and democratic actions happen in countries that are democratic. Thanks for being here today, folks. A little bit longer today than normal, but we had a lot that we needed to catch up on. We'll be back tomorrow with the next chapter of the debacle in the circus we call Washington, D.C. I'll see you then at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org.
More facts, less spin, real truth. TNN,
the Truth News Network.